He is the enemy. He did bifinim inside. What's inside? Inside the Kodesh HaKodosh. And by the way, there are two different gear sites. There is bifinim. There are two different, over here they have in the art scroll, there are some editions that say bifinim, and here it says bifinim. There's a difference. There's a difference between the two different gear sites. Is it bifinim or is it bifinim? Alright, whatever it is, remember what the enemy did inside. Shalav Chargoy.
I have vilifnim.
You have lifnim?
Vilifnim.
Vilifnim? With the Vav?
Yeah, Vav in front of the Lamed.
Wow. There's no, I don't have a Lamed.
In the temple.
In the temple.
That's how it's translated.
Okay. Mr. and Mrs. Glatter, welcome. Welcome. We're learning over here, Kinnis. We're learning over here the kinnus of Tisha B'Av. Okay, we're learning. We're just doing over here the basic translation. Nothing esoteric or deep. Just basic, simple translation. Okay, so we're starting with kinnus number 16. Okay, so if you have a kinnus, it would be good if you have a kinnus number 16. If not, don't worry. Just listen and we'll. I'm only learning today for a few minutes. I have to go in a few minutes. Just a little bit. Zachar, remember, Asher Osot Sar Bifinim. Remember what the enemy did. Who's the enemy? The enemy over here is Titois. Titois Harasha, what he did inside the Kodesh HaKadosh. What did he do? Sholaf Charboy, he with unsheath. Sholaf means he withdrew his sword. Uva, and he entered Lefnai V'Lefnim. He entered into the Kodesh HaKadosh. Nachaloseinu Bies. Now the word Nachaloseinu is a word that refers to Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, our inheritance. Bies, he terrified. Our inheritance, he terrified. Kitime, when he contaminated the lechem haponim, the bread. So it seems that Nebuchadnezzar and Atitois, you see, something over here is not right. Because before you come into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, first you pass the Lechem upon him. The Shulchan is on the right side of the entrance. When you're coming into the Heichel, on the right side is the Shulchan, the left side is the Menorah, and in the center is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So it's out of order. If Titus walked into the Heichel and came into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he first should have touched and contaminated the Shulchan before he entered into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Something over here is out of order. All right, but Sholaf Chava, he went he terrified our people. Kitime, when he contaminated the Lechem Aponim, the Gider Poroiches, he stabbed the Poroiches. Balas Shtei Fonim, the Poroiches has two partitions. The Paroiches, the base Amigdash was a Bayis Sheni, was two curtains, and there was one Amma in between. It was a double curtain. So that's why it's called the Balash Shtei. Obviously, over here there appears to be a connection between the Lechem HaPonim and the Ponim, the double Ponim of the Paroiches. See, there's something over here that is very interesting, because we're talking about the Paroiches. And the Paroiches has two ponim, two faces. On one side, there's one, and on the other side. And the lechem, the breads, are also, it's the lechem haponim, they face one another. All right? Yisaymin giel, bimogein me'odam. Now, this is a very difficult concept. Yisaymin refers to the orphans. Giel. What does it mean with Gil? Gil means he defiled, which is another word for contamination. Bimogain with a shield me'adam. A shield that is red. What does that mean exactly? I don't know what this means. It's something over here that's very, very deep. Okay, we can translate the words over here. The words, you know, it says, compared with Nahum 24, if you go look this up, the assignment, the orphans, he Gil. In the art school, it says the orphaned nation he defiled with a shield red with blood. Josephus describe the misery and destruction brought about by Titus. Now he's just going on over here telling us what he did. But what does this mean exactly? The Yesenim Giel, the orphan nation he defiled with a shield that is red. I don't know what this means. Whatever, because they used to go use shields as weapons. And they would shove the shield upon their victim, and the victim would die, would be crushed, and would be full of blood. And the shield was red with the blood of the victim when the enemy would thrust a very heavy shield upon them. It has to mean something deeper than this. I don't know what it means. Then it says something, another very complicated expression, Vayimadei kov b'kimarei adamdam. He measured them for death along a line that was red. Again the word red. He took a string and he measured them for death. What does that mean? Okay, I don't know what these things mean. Meimeinu dolach, our waters he made muddy. Vehishkir chitzav midam, and he intoxicated his arrows with blood. Ki yotza min abayis, when he came out of the bayis, v'charboy, and his sword milei adam was filled with blood. All right, now over here, if you just look back at what it says over here. Over here it says his sword. It says that we talk about his sword. Let's see. I mean, there's a lot going on here. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. There's a lot going on. This first, it says Shalaf Charboy. He withdrew his sword. Then it says he came out of the bayis and his sword was filled with blood. But it also says he used arrows. Meimeinu dolach, he made our waters muddy. V'hishkir chitzav midam. Arrows. There are two very different types of weapons. And then there's another weapon over here. A mogain, a shield, me'odam. Vayimadei kov, he measured them for death with along a line. It seems over here there are four different types of weapons that Titus used to harm Klal Yisrael. Number one, there's a sword, and that's mentioned twice. Number two, there's a shield. Number three, there's a kov, there is a line. And number four, there are arrows. Titus, and then when he talks about what he did, he contaminated the lechem upon him. He stabbed the paroiches. There's something called water. The meimeinu dolach, our water. So he took away our bread. He contaminated our bread. And he muddied our waters. Okay, I'm trying to just think with you out loud over here. I mean, this thing over here is so deep. There's so many concepts going on. In the desert, we had man, and we had the be'er. The man in the zchus of Moshe, the be'er in the zchus of Miriam. And then, so we have over here, he talks about over here that he contaminated the bread and he made the water muddy. And which weapons did he use? He used a sword. He talks about using arrows. Talks about a shield. And talks about this thing called Vayimadei Kov Kimari Adamdam. He measured them for death along the line. He measured them for death. Along a line, a red line. Now, what does that mean exactly? A line. Well, it sounds like some type of weapon. He measured them to die. Four different types of weapons being described here by Titus HaRasha in harming Klal Yisrael. It sounds like this event is really like the description of what's going to happen. Titus, when he destroyed the Vayishen, there was the beginning. When he destroyed the Vayishen, he was foreshadowing. What's going to happen in the time of the Golus, from the time of the Bayesheni, going forward throughout the entire Golus. And in our Golus, we've suffered from all different types of enemies. We saw from Esav, we saw from Yishmael. The choice of weapon of Yishmael is for who Roveh Kashas, he's an archer. Yishmael's choice of weapon is the bow and arrow. The choice of weapon of Esav, Charbuchay Tichyeh, is the sword. And what other enemies do we have? Then he talks over here about what do we say, the shield and a line. What shield? He made the shield red. What does that mean exactly? Yisaynin Giel bin Morgain, a shield me'adam red. I don't know what this means, okay? But it sounds like that this is foreshadowing the galus that's going to come upon Klal Yisrael. We are going to suffer from all different types of weapons. Our food, our bread is going to be contaminated. Our water is muddy. There are a lot of different ideas that are being presented over here. Let's go further. Al hagoysoi havois gover. Al hagoysoi means his plans. We mourn over the hagoysoi havois gover. Gover is the man. Gover here simply refers to Titois. And the word hagoysoi havois refers to his thoughts. Venato elkel yoda lumuloi ligaber. He stretched out his arm against Hashem to prevail. It sounds like there's another weapon. The weapon is his fist, his bare hands. He extended his hand opposite Hashem to prevail. Mitzrayim v'chol lo'oim im bom gavar ani b'soch ivuyoy arutz elov ditzavar. So he said over here is that even though Hashem prevailed, Hashem was more mighty than Egypt and all other nations, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu throughout our history has destroyed the Egyptians, destroyed the Pelishtim, destroyed the Canaanim. Hashem has given the Jewish people the power to overcome all of their enemies, but Rome, Hashem was unable to conquer. Because look, here I am, I'm Titus, I represent the Roman people, the Roman nation, and I am conquering the Beis HaMikdash. Although Hashem in the past was able to overcome Egypt and all of the other nations, Hashem is not able to overcome me, Titus, who represents the nation of Rome. That's what it says. It says over here is Mitzrayim v'chol lo'oim. Even though Egypt and all the nations in Bom, although Bom Gavar Hashem prevailed, I, look at Besoch Ivuyo, inside of Hashem's abode, Arutz Elov Bitzavar, I'm able to rush with my neck stretched out. Maybe this also is another type of weapon. He's fighting with his neck. There's another type of weapon we mentioned over here, the chutzpah, to his neck. Aveseinu Zora Kichnitsoy Bachurov. But now the Python over here is saying that even though in the past Aveseinu, referring to Nadav Vaviu, when they brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim an Eish Zora, what happened to them? They died. Vezeh Titois, what did he do? He brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim a Zoyna, Tzoya, Hichnis. He brought in a Zayna, a disgusting Zayna, and nothing happened to him. So how could it possibly be? How could it possibly be that this Makom, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, is so holy that when Nadav Aviv brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim in Eish Zara Asher Lo Tziva Oisab, they died, yet Titus, it says here, he brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim a Zayna, and nothing happened to him. Avadim Chitu B'Seicher Labas Eish. The Avodim slaves, they kindled inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim fire. The Almah Beveis Eish, Mimaroim Sholach Eish. Right, saying over here is that, how could it possibly be that this location, which is the place of Hashem's location, it's called the Beis Eish. Why is it called the Beis Eish? I don't know. How could it be over here that Hashem, Mimaroim Sholach Eish, Hashem allowed this place to be destroyed? Okay, Benavsheni, now we go for Benavsheni Tovanu Kyoitsi Klesharis. The Somon, the Oni Shayit Bom Lihisharis. Our Neshama drowned when we watched him take out of the Beis HaMikdash the Klesharis, and he put them on a boat to take back with him to Rome. Titois came into the Beis HaMikdash, into the Hechel. He brought in a sack, an empty sack, and he filled up the sack with all of the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, which were very valuable. And he took the sack, he put it on a ship, and he took it back to Rome to show off the spoils of war. And when he did this, our neshama, it felt like that we drowned. We had the sensation of drowning, watching this Russia steal the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, to take them and put them in a bag and take it with him to Rome. Our skin melted away when the Mesharis, which means the Kohanim, they came in the morning. They did not find Tishim Ushloisha Klesharis. Now this is an interesting number. 93. You know something? It's about Hashkocha Protest. 93. We learn today that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in this world 903 forms of death. Lamaves Toitzaois. Chazal said the gematria of the word Toitzaois is 903. And Chazal say that in this world Hashem created 903 different types of death. And we write in the Pasuk, says that Hashem brings these deaths upon our enemies, but Hashem saves us from these types of death. Isn't it interesting, Ebelezer, what's the coincidence that in the Beis HaMikdash there were exactly 93. Now it's not 903, it's 93, but very often the Chazal, you took numbers, you know, you round down the numbers. The Mispar Gadol, Mispar Katan. So 900, there's a relationship between 900 and 90. 900 is just the expansion of 90. Okay, now you'll say, so what about 3? It should either be 930. Here it's 903. I don't know if what I'm saying over here is I don't know if over here, but I'm saying over here there's a relationship. But one thing we know, the Gemara makes a drash, the Gemara makes a calculation that in the Beis HaMikdash, there were 93 utensils. For all of the different types of korbanos that they needed throughout the year, they needed a sachar kol, I don't know what the calculation is, 93 kelim, all different size, measuring utensils. This one was needed to do the avoda of the entire year. Exactly 93 utensils. These 93 utensils were collected and put into a bag and taken off to Rome. And when we came into the Beis HaMikdash after Titus arrived, they were all gone, and of course Klal Yisrael great Agmas Nefesh. The 93 kelim, the Gemara in Yerushalmi says, why are there 93 kelim? It corresponds to the 93 times that Hashem's name is mentioned in Sefer Ezra and Nehemiah. In Sefer, it's a Yerushalmi, it says that Hashem's name is mentioned exactly 93 times in Sefer Ezra and Nehemiah, and those 93 references of Hashem's name is why we have exactly 93 kelim in the Beis HaMikdash. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that means exactly, but that's what it says. Once upon a time, I once said a drush years ago, is that in the Beis HaMikdash there were two Sanhedrins. There was the Sanhedrin HaGedoyla and the Sanhedrin Ketan. It says the first in the Mishnah, the Lishkas HaGozes stood. There was a Sanhedrin of 70 members. On the Har HaBayis, there was the Sanhedrin Kitana, 23 judges. 70 plus 23 is a grand total of 93. So, one thing to say to Jewish is that what this says over in the Kina is that when the Titus, what did Titus do? Titus, he killed, or he put an end to the Sanhedrin that was situated in the Beis HaMikdash. There were two separate Sanhedrins. The Sanhedrin HaGodol, the Lishkas HaGozes that had 70 members, and the Sanhedrin Ketana on the Har HaBayis that had 23 members, for a total of 93. and all of and a human being is the ultimate kli sharis. A human being comes from earth and water, is a servant. The servant of Hashem is a utensil. So it says over here that when we come to Beis Hamikdash and the 93 members of the Sanhedrin are not to be found. Kinoshim kishadu kivo aritz, when the women saw that the tyrant has come, the karka habayis me'olof hecheritz. He had spikes on his shoes, and he put them into the ground, and he destroyed the ground. The ground was very precious. Sorry, why does it say the Noshim when they saw kibo aritz? I want to suggest, the reason why it says here when the women, because it says that a soita, it says you shall take from the afar, min afar, asher yiyeh, bakarka. When a woman who was not faithful was brought to the Beis Hamikdash to drink from the soita, the main soita, what do? You take the mayim, the water. You take the parish of soita and you melt it in the water, and then the pasuk says that you take offer from the karka, from the ground of the azara. So here, the ground of the azara is something that relates very much to the women, because a soita, a woman who is not faithful, would consume from the earth of the Beis Hamikdash. So it says here that the Noshim, so it's not just that they would drink. It has obviously captured an idea that the earth of the Beis Hamikdash, it preserved the sanctity of marriage. So it says the Noshim Kishori, when they saw Kivo Oritz, the Karka Habayis Me'olav Hechritz, they were terrified. They saw when the tyrant came and he put in the karka, his shoes, into the ground. He defiled the afar ha'aretz of the soita. Sarim lupasu kivoy paritz, princes were, the princes, lupasu terror, kivoy paritz, bebeis kodesh hakodoshim tzachanosoy hishritz, in the base of the kodesh hakodoshim, his stench, his shritz. Then it talks about the bachur, the young men, the bachur tzogu mechuzakim, they stood resolute, the soru, they thought kiyuzak b'shishim yu mazik, they thought they would be killed, zekenim nevasa, they were terrified, kehir shum yishichotim, when they gave permission from heaven, asoy shritzoy noy vuhu asur bo zikim. All right, over here, what you learn over here is, at least in these lines, now you look at the acrostic, we talk about Noshim, Sarim, Bachurim, Zekenim. In the beginning we talk about Nachaloseinu, our Nachaloseinu. And again it says Yesoimim, Meinau, Avoseinu. See, it's very interesting. You have over here all different segments of society. And most of them, derech pshat, Noshim refers to the Noshim of Klal Yisrael, the Sarim Klal Yisrael, the Bachurim, the Zekenim, Nafshenu, the individual. Okay, Oireinu, what does Oireinu refer to? I don't know what the significance of Yisraelim, Meinenu, Nachaloseinu. What about Al Hagoisai? I don't know. Mitzrayim cholov bom gova ani b'sech ibu ye'orut zelo b'tzava. I don't know. They are different. It's a very big mystery. Okay, the kino over here is a very, very big mystery, describing all the different people. Okay, I'll just read very quickly. We'll just finish over here. Shav ha'soitim b'vav admoin. Okay, the satan, the soitim refers to Bavel. Bavel came to an end, and now who's the enemy? Rome. Vayisabiv choyma vayaves hamoin. He surrounded the wall. Vayaves hamoin, and he made desolate the populace. Nafla ever alvine pitzel lach luzi hamoin. Terror descended upon Yaakov Avinu, ad ki nutash midoik armon, until the point he was abandoned from heaven. Al pesach arabay sechel lavoy, the enemy came in from the Beis Hamikdash. Al pesach arabay sechel lavoy biad arba roshei tafsarav. Then we talk about over here. Is that they tried to destroy the wall, and what remained? The koisel hamaravi remained. Al tzad maravi lezech esrubo b'tzadach hakosedim lo maravi lo. Hashem stood behind the koisel and did not fight. Then we go on to talk about you got angry and you allowed them to destroy the Beis Hamikdash. And then we talk about the story of the children. In fact, this is where we're up to Blazer in Tehillim. Tomorrow we're going to mamash learn about this kina, where it says, Hashiveinu Shivu, it talks about the story of the boat, that there were 400 boys and 400 girls that were taken as captives from Yerushalayim to Rome. And they will be taken there for the purpose of doing averos. And when the girls realized what was happening to them, they commit suicide. They jumped off the boat into the water and they died. And they said, and they said, the end is tikvasam nasim lemeshem nivashem nivaskar nishma ura lama tishan okay over here they. That's what it says over here. In Tilim, Samaches is that the children, they commit suicide. When they realize that they were being taken to Rome for the purpose of doing averos, they felt that it would be better for them to give up their lives to Hashem instead of being used as an instrument of an avero. And when the girls did this, the boys did this. Okay, this kina, I just read through it, and whoever, we just didn't do much justice with it. But basically, there are three things. There are three basic themes in this one kina. Number one, it is describing Titois Harasha destroy coming into the Beis Hamikdash. Number two, it describes the Koisel Hamaravi. Even though Titus came and defiled the Mikdash, Hashem allowed a zecher to remain forever. And then number three, we talk about the children who gave up their lives to die al kiddush Hashem. The big mystery is, what do these three themes have in common? Why are these three ideas joined together? And the beginning of the kina talks about Titus. Titus arrives in the Beis Hamikdash and defiles the Beis Hamikdash. Theme number two, even though he tried to destroy it, Hashem allowed the Koisel Hamaravi to remain. Theme number three, the children gave up their lives to die al Kiddush Hashem. What's the connection? What is the connection? What is the connection between these two? I don't know. You'll say something like along the lines is that, although our enemies tried to destroy us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed there to be a remnant, and the remnant demands that children be allowed to carry on the sanctity to the next generation. But in this Mizmor it says that the kids, children were killed, they die. But yet it goes on to say, it says, they daven l'mamosh and they pray to Hashem. Tikvasam, their hope, nasnu l'meisha mibashan. Okay, I don't know what this means. Right, I'm sorry if I bored you. I didn't prepare anything on here just to go try to learn some of these kinas. All right, I have to step out. I have to go somewhere now. So I'm going to stop over here. Okay, I'm going to stop over here. Blazer, thank you very much for coming, Blazer. Thank you, Mr. Glad. I hope it was worth it. We learned something over here, some a little teeny bit of this very good kina. Have a wonderful evening.
Good night.
Good night. Yeah, thanks for coming, Blazer.
Thank you.